Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see.
Produced
some
at the bad. Studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Prison Pipeline. I'm Doug McVeigh. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal legal system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. We seek to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safe, healthy, and just society. In Massachusetts, a coalition of advocacy organizations is working to oppose Governor Maura Healey's proposed $360 million prison complex at MCI Framingham. They're calling for an immediate action to stop construction, disclose all planning information, review every woman for release, and improve current conditions. They held a news conference September 11th to announce their opposition. We're going to hear some of that news conference on today's show. Let's start with Mallory Honora, co-director of Families for Justice as Healing. She's followed by Nithya Badranath, policy director at Jane Doe, Inc., and by Angelia Jefferson, women's participatory defense coordinator and formerly incarcerated expert at Families for Justice as Healing.
I'm Mallory Honora. I'm the co-director of Families for Justice as Healing, and our mission is to end the incarceration of women and girls. Our members include women inside MCI Framingham and women who have come home from Framingham. Directly impacted women discovered the state's plan to rebuild MCI Framingham in 2019 after 200 women were moved from Framingham to South Bay. We raised concerns then that no plans for release or community-based alternatives were considered for pretrial and county sentenced women. Under the Baker administration, the state put out an RFP for a contract to study and design a women's correctional facility. This contract was awarded to HDR in 2021, and since then, HDR has already been paid millions of dollars by the state under various contracts to design the women's prison. I want to thank Senator Eldridge and Rep. Keefe, and I want to emphasize what Senator Eldridge said. Incarcerated and formerly incarcerated women have been clear and consistent that they do not support massive prison construction, including testifying to the legislature, meeting with legislators, and writing to Governor Healey herself. Governor Healey announced the $360 million women's prison complex on June 30th. Women inside MCI Framingham were not engaged nor even notified before her press release celebrating the plan. In fact, we emailed the press release and mailed the press release into Framingham. Given the lack of information in the press release, we've repeatedly done records requests to track the project, and each time the records have come back almost entirely redacted. We're glad to share those responses with you if you'd like them. We still do not have answers to basic questions about the project, such as an explanation for the sevenfold cost increase, a proposed bed count, or the timeline. And while we've always agreed that some repairs are necessary, the administration has not been specific about any current structural issues at the prison or their plan to address those. From what we have been able to gather, the $360 million women's prison complex is supposed to include demolition that is actually slated to begin this year. Massive renovations that, as the senator said, far exceed the scope of necessary repairs, as well as the construction of two brand new buildings. The administration plans to spend $360 million to downsize the prison, which is a massive increase from the $50 million price tag that was originally proposed. The current operational capacity of Framingham is 668, and the administration has made no commitment on how much they plan to reduce that. Nor have they done the necessary work to evaluate the current population at MCI Framingham to assess who is currently eligible for release through existing legal pathways such as parole, medical parole, clemency, and classifying women to minimum and pre-release status to serve the remainder of their sentences in the community where they can make positive contributions and begin to rebuild their life. About 25% of women in MCI Framingham are being held pre-trial, which means they haven't been convicted of anything. They're from Middlesex County, and we could massively decarcerate MCI Framingham by allowing women to be free to fight their case. There are currently 30 women who are older than 55 years old in MCI Framingham, including six women in their 70s, many of whom have debilitating health issues. We should not be spending $360 million to build a prison for them to die in. Instead, we could fully implement medical parole as the legislature intended and pass elder parole to give these aging women an opportunity for consideration for release. All of these clear opportunities to further reduce the population through common sense policy must be pursued before prison construction planning, and that should include the jail and prison construction moratorium to pause this process. As I mentioned, the $360 million prison complex plan includes a proposal to build a new programming building, which from records request we could see is called Community Wellness and Learning Center. For us, this is an outrageous co-optation of language, right? MCI Framingham is a medium security prison. It is not a community center. To suggest that prison is a place for wellness flies in the face of what incarcerated women actually experience, which is separation from their children and families, the daily indignities of strip searches and constant surveillance, the re-traumatizing and dehumanizing experience of being under the custody and control of the DOC. And for some women, that includes sexual harassment and abuse. The state also proposes to build a new medical building, which is being called or proposed to be called a care and treatment center. And while physical and mental health are two of the top concerns incarcerated women raise to me on an almost daily basis, building a new building won't change who is providing the care in the DOC, nor the quality of that care, which is being provided by VitalCorps, a massive private contractor. And they're currently being sued by one of their former doctors for forcing him to provide substandard care. We know treatment in incarceration settings is coercive and ineffective compared to community care. And incarcerating people who are using drugs actually increases their risk of overdose. Prisons are prisons. They are not treatment centers or hospitals or hospices. If we have $360 million available for women, we should spend that on supporting women to reenter the community and preventing incarceration in the first place by ensuring women and their families have access to what they need to thrive. In the governor's plan, it acknowledges that women inside MCI Framingham are struggling with mental illness and poverty and addiction. And this cannot be our plan. A $360 million women's prison cannot be our plan for supporting women who are struggling with mental illness, poverty, and addiction. On top of all this, incarcerated women are rightfully worried about what 6 to 8 years of construction, how that will impact them, including noise, dirt and dust, potential toxins, potential for extensive lock-ins, limited yard access, and the health and environmental impacts, especially given the mismanagement of previous renovations. And we want to raise the question of why this is happening right now. Governor Healey has closed hospitals. We are in a housing crisis. And meanwhile, the Trump regime is slashing funding for essential services and safety nets, which will push even more families into poverty. Spending $360 million on a women's prison complex will only fuel cycles of criminalization, incarceration, and family separation. So we have to stop this project, shift our approach, and invest in women and community care and resources that allow women and our families to heal and advance our lives. Thanks.
My name is Nithya Badrinath, and I'm the policy director at Jane Doe Inc., the Massachusetts Coalition Against Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence. We work with and represent 60 direct service sexual and domestic violence programs across the state. I just want to start off by emphasizing everything that every speaker before me has said. So the construction of a new women's prison will directly harm survivors of sexual and domestic violence. Most women in prisons are survivors themselves, with statistics reporting up to 90% of women who are incarcerated have experienced sexual and intimate partner violence. Incarceration then compounds trauma because prisons are sites of violence. The majority of women in MCI Framingham have reported experiencing or witnessing sexual harassment or violence in custody. From a report from Sarah and Prisoners Legal Services, their accounts included misogynistic language, verbal and physical abuse during strip searches, and correctional officers exploiting their authority to comment on and control their bodies. These power dynamics replicate the patterns of coercion and control found in abusive relationships. We firmly believe a trauma-informed prison is still a prison. No renovations or building upgrades will ever erase the culture that prisons create. It cannot substitute for true healing and support. The core functions of prisons are rooted in control and punishment, and the tenets of trauma-informed care include autonomy, trust, collaboration, and healing. These concepts are in direct conflict with each other, as prisons are inherently re-traumatizing and continue cycles of violence. This significant investment also comes in a time of literal crisis. Our programs are reeling from threats and actual cuts to essential programming. In our state budget this year, domestic and sexual violence programs funded through the Department of Public Health received a $7 million cut. The state also did not include allocations for essential victim services to fill gaps for Federal Victims of Crime Act funding. On the federal level, programs that provide housing, healthcare, food assistance, and legal support are facing similar threats. The women currently incarcerated at MCI Framingham do need investment, but they need it in their communities where they should return and where support systems can help break cycles of violence. As all the speakers before me have shared, there are clear paths to dramatically decrease costs associated with incarcerating the small population of women through supporting clemency, expanding medical and elder parole opportunities, investing in community-based reentry and support services, and addressing the root causes of violence. JDI, our programs, and so many advocacy and community organizations are doing violence prevention work. The administration must reshift their priorities, invest in our communities, and never incarceration. Thank you.
My name is Angelia Jefferson. I served 31 years at MCI Framingham. I am a mother, a daughter, a sister, grandmother, and I am a friend. I oppose this trauma-informed prison that they are trying to build because I just feel like the $360 million can be used towards so many other different things other than building a care and treatment center. They had ITU, which is was supposed to be the mental health unit, and that just didn't work out good. The people that are in control of the treatment inside of the prison, those are the people that are harming all of us. They do not, they say care, custody, and control. It's not care, custody, and control. Only thing it is control, because they like to control our minds, our bodies, and our souls. They control when we eat, they control when we sleep, what we think, what we do, when we use the phone, when we shower, everything. They control everything there is about us to the point where sometimes I used to feel like I was a robot under their control. Okay, Angie, you can't walk to the left. You have to walk to the right. So I have to walk to the right. If I don't walk to the right, I get locked up. I get thrown into a cell with nothing. I do not, for the life of me, understand why I take this amount of money and invest it into these supposedly new trauma-informed places that they want to build. The trauma is still going to be there. The disrespect is still going to be there. The strip searches are still going to be there, which are very degrading. The treatment of the women inside of prison here just isn't good at all. Mental health treatment, if you go to someone and talk to them about your mental health, you can end up in a dry cell with a slab on the floor because you let them know how you were feeling. Or better yet, they'll take Suboxone and methadone and give it to you to calm your nerves, which they also use for pain management, which I really don't understand that part either. All this money that they have, they can take it and they can invest it into our communities for housing, for mental health, for medical care, to make things better. So when the women come out, they'll have something to look forward to. Housing is a big thing that women are going to need when they come home. Governor Healey made new guidelines for clemency. Please, I would love for her to use those guidelines for the women that are coming up for clemency positions. There's one that's in now. There's a few more coming up later on down the road. Use that. Let the women out. The women can be free today, this day. The women can come home. The women can survive out here in the real world. Myself, knowing these women that are in there, knowing how they operate, knowing how they are, I know when they come home that they can be a productive member in society. I know that they can be. This money that they're taking to build this trauma-informed prison, as they call it, isn't going to make anything better. It's going to make things worse for all of us. These are mothers, these are daughters, these are friends, these are sisters, whatever the case may be. The treatment that they're experiencing inside of there right now is just not healthy at all. I remember when they changed the windows in the inside of the prison. They moved everyone down to the Smith building. The whole compound moved everyone down to the Smith building. They said we were going to be down there for 6 months. We ended up being down there for 3 years. And then on top of it, all the money that they spent to put these new windows in, they put them in upside down. So that prolonged the process that we had to be in the Smith Building on top of each other, which wasn't right either. Then the women that had walkers, that had canes, that had wheelchairs, they had access to move around with the help of us that was helping them move back and forth to do everything that they had to do. So them saying that they don't have access, them saying that they need ramps, them saying that it will be better is a lie. It's not going to be better. My advice is just shut it down. Let my sisters come home and I will handle it from there. Thank you.
That was Angelia Jefferson, Women's Participatory Defense Coordinator and formerly incarcerated expert at Families for Justice as Healing. She was preceded by Mallory Hanara, co-director of Families for Justice as Healing, and by Nithya Badranath, policy director at Jane Doe, Inc. They were speaking at a news conference September 11th, organized by Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts, to oppose Governor Healey's proposed $360 million prison complex at MCI Framingham, and to call for immediate action to stop construction, disclose all planning information, review every woman for release, and to improve current conditions. You're listening to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Let's hear more speakers from that news conference. This segment starts with Jasmine Borges, Director of Organizing and formerly incarcerated expert at the Mass Bail Fund. She's followed by Dr. Christine Mitchell, Health Instead of Punishment Program Director at Health In Partnership, and by Sarah Nawab, Staff Attorney and Women's Incarceration and Reentry Project Director at Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts.
Again, my name is Jasmine Borges. I'm the Director of Organizing for the Massachusetts Bail Fund. The Bail Fund is a nonprofit abolitionist organization that helps pay cash bail for our community members that can't afford to do so. And specifically, we do post bail for women at MCI Framingham. I served 12 years at MCI Framingham, and I'm here today standing in solidarity with my sisters still behind the wall and with over 70 formerly incarcerated women who joined me this month in signing a letter demanding that the Healey administration not invest $360 million into a women's complex. Instead of wasting taxpayer money on the continuation of harm and violence against women, we demand that the Healey administration use liberatory mechanisms that already exist, that have already been mentioned, that include clemency, commutations, elder parole, medical parole, regular parole, and the proper use of the classification system so that women in Framingham can step down to minimum security and pre-release programs. In my 12 years at Framingham, I witnessed women lose the fight to suicide, lose the fight to drug addiction, and endure brutal violence at the hands of correctional officers. My personal friend Brittany was beaten so badly she was left with a broken nose, two black eyes, and two broken ribs, and then was sent to solitary confinement. There was no public outrage, no protests. This was business as usual. I know these are extreme examples, but the day-to-day was and continues to be just as bad. Constant racism, sexism, body shaming, sexual harassment, the abuse and violence against us women behind those walls was and is relentless, far beyond what the public ever sees or acknowledges. And through it all, no one came to save us because we were state property. But we survived, and our sisters on the inside continue to survive by holding on to hope that freedom will come. Framingham and its counterparts across the Commonwealth were built on the intertwined ideologies of white supremacy, patriarchy, and classism. These systems were never designed to heal, serve, nor resource our people. They were built to subjugate, oppress, control, and inflict violent harm. I want to say this next part with absolute clarity. Framingham cannot be reimagined. Prisons and jails cannot be reimagined, cannot be trauma-informed, cannot be housing, are not places of treatment, and cannot be made pretty. If the Healey administration is truly interested in reimagining the quality of life for our sisters on the inside and building real safety in our communities, then they must realize it will never come from creating more prisons, more jails, or punitive policies. Reimagining begins ending all ties to carceral expansions and begins with investing $360 million into affordable, low threshold housing, access to healthcare, strong reentry services, access to higher education, meaningful employment, non-coercive treatment for people struggling with substance use and mental health issues, and affordable child care for our single mothers. I'll end by saying this: true safety is achieved when our people are resourced to thrive in communities that understand them. And $360 million is a good way to start resourcing our people today. Thank you.
My name is Dr. Christine Mitchell. I'm the Health Instead of Punishment Program Director at Health in Partnership, which is a national public health nonprofit. As a highly trained public health researcher, I'm here to refute the claim that Governor Healey's $360 million prison reconstruction plan is evidence-based. To the contrary, research is clear that prisons cannot ever be trauma-informed. Prisons are inherently places of profound structural violence premised on surveillance, seclusion, and punitive control. The experience of incarceration is correlated with a multiplicity of adverse health outcomes, including higher rates than the general population of early mortality, hypertension, asthma, arthritis, cervical cancer, anxiety, depression, infectious disease, and so much more. No amount of reconstruction can mitigate those harms. Even prisons that are lauded as more humane, such as those in Norway, do not circumvent the physical and mental health violence inherent to imprisonment. For example, research on prisons in Norway finds that concerns remain regarding poorer health-related outcomes, including higher suicide rates and high levels of dissatisfaction with health services within the prisons. Those same problems, as we've heard here today, exist here in Massachusetts. We know that our communities are in dire need of quality health care and behavioral health treatment, and that too few have access to these resources. Incarceration is not the solution to this problem, and to suggest that it is ignores the health harms of carceral settings and the medical neglect that occurs behind prison walls. Not only do prisons and jails so often fail to provide the treatment people need, but they inherently cannot. Carceral facilities, by virtue of their punitive nature, cannot uphold patient rights requirements for care settings, like the ability to assert choice and treatment without fear of retaliation. In a system of custody and control, true privacy, dignity, and recovery are simply not possible, regardless of the structure of the building itself. Those $360 million in taxpayer dollars should instead be invested in the things our communities and the women inside MCI Framingham actually need. This is basic public health. In 2021, the American Public Health Association, which is the largest professional organization of public health professionals in the U.S., highlighted the harms of carceral systems and urged all levels of government to reallocate funding from the construction of jails, detention centers, and prisons to the social determinants of health, including things like affordable, quality, and accessible housing, health care, employment, education, including in early childhood, and transportation. Research shows that access to these resources, not more carceral infrastructure, is what people need to thrive safely and healthily in their communities. This is what an investment in people, a commitment to second chances, and a responsibility to build a safer future for communities statewide, which is what Governor Healey claims this plan will do, truly looks like. And so I, along with over 200 public health professionals in Massachusetts and across the country who signed on to a public health letter in opposition to this reconstruction plan, urge Governor Healey to follow public health evidence. Stop the misguided redevelopment plan of MCI Framingham, maximize decarceration efforts, and invest in the social determinants of health for our communities instead. Thank you.
My name is Sarah Nawab. I'm a staff attorney with Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts. I am also the director of PLS's Women's Incarceration Conditions and Reentry Project. Through my work at PLS, I keep in regular contact with women incarcerated at MCI Framingham through phone calls, letters, and legal visits. My mandate is to provide legal assistance to these women to try to resolve the issues they face during incarceration. Through this work, I've found that incarcerated women's concerns have little to do with the physical plant of MCI Framingham and are rather a result of deeply rooted cultural issues. For example, women at MCI Framingham regularly report harassment from staff, including body shaming, use of misogynistic language, and sexual harassment. Women who try to use the prison's internal grievance process to document these issues report facing retaliation. This retaliation has resulted in fear among incarcerated women when it comes to making complaints about problem officers or harmful staff behavior. This culture of harassment and retaliation is endemic to the prison system and is not an issue that we can build our way out of. Women at MCI Framingham also report a lack of access to meaningful programming. For example, unlike incarcerated men in medium security, women at MCI Framingham are not allowed to form and meet in self-help groups. They also only have access to a certificate program with no means of obtaining a college degree at this time. Providing meaningful education, programming, and permission to form self-help groups is something MCI Framingham and the Department of Correction could do right now, and it would not require an expensive new complex. Women also report how difficult it is to obtain medical parole. Since the passage of the medical parole law as part of the Criminal Justice Reform Act of 2018, PLS has filed 12 medical parole petitions on behalf of 8 women at MCI Framingham, and only one of our petitions has been granted. This is why PLS, following the lead of our partners at Families for Justice's Healing, is supporting a bill that would clarify and expand the medical parole process and also create a process for elder parole so we can safely release many of the oldest and longest serving women in the Commonwealth. This bill and other reforms like it are what the Commonwealth should be focusing on to promote public safety. Since the passage of the CJRA, the Commonwealth has made incredible strides to reduce incarceration rates, especially for women. A $360 million women's prison complex will take us backwards and undo our progress. Women incarcerated at MCI Framingham have also been clear that they do not want this complex. Rather, they want quality programming, reentry support, and meaningful pathways to release. PLS's mandate is to support the needs of incarcerated people, so we, like our clients, oppose this project. Thank you again for your time.
That was Sarah Nawaba, staff attorney and Women's Incarceration and Reentry Project Director at Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts. She was preceded by Jasmine Borges, Director of Organizing and formerly incarcerated expert at Mass Bail Fund, and by Dr. Christine Mitchell, Health Instead of Punishment Program Director at Health in Partnership. They were speaking at a news conference September 11th, organized by Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts, to oppose Governor Healey's proposed $360 million prison complex at MCI Framingham, and to call for immediate action to stop construction, disclose all planning information, review every woman for release, and to improve current conditions. And for now, that's it. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Join us again next week for another edition of Prison Pipeline. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
Just so long! Intentions.